Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
I think we'll go into the ocean now, will we? We're here, sure, just at 12:05. Ocean with David Attenborough. It's a powerful documentary and it coincided with the broadcaster's 99th birthday this year. And next March, in the springtime, the film will be shown with a full orchestra in the Three Arena in Dublin. It's going to be a beautiful event. It's going to feature the music of the Oscar-winning composer Stephen Price. What did he win the Oscar for? It was the iconic score to Gravity, starring George Clooney and Sandra Bullock in 2013. He's also scored tons of movies, TV series, all the things you'll know and love very well. And Stephen Price is live on the line from London. Good afternoon, Stephen.
Hello, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you very much. Tell us a little bit about your background. Were you from a family of professional musicians?
Well, not professional musicians, but certainly a family that was very keen on music, and the house was always full of records being played and instruments lying around the place. So I was very lucky to grow up around that.
Instruments just lying around the place. And you picked one up at a young age, I'm sure.
Yeah, there was a little plastic guitar, a little Beatles guitar from you know, the 1960s, little tacky plastic thing. And I used to pick that up and try and pluck a tune out on it. And that was when my dad sort of went, do you fancy lessons? And that sort of set me on the path, really.
That was a very dynamic father to spot there, the talent.
It was great, handy.
And you had a tape recorder and recorded yourself, I believe?
Yeah, I was very into recording from a really early age. So I had a four-track tape recorder for a Christmas present when I was very little. And I used to spend hours just working out how you could layer different instruments on top of each other.
Wow, they are the little kind of mysteries of life, aren't they? That small little thing you were doing, which unbeknownst to you is about to become your life.
Absolutely, absolutely. If you had told me then that I'd be, you know, sitting in a studio surrounded by instruments, I would have, I wouldn't have believed you. But it's funny how it works out.
And what kind of music are you listening to as a teenager? As you get older, I presume you're not tuned into orchestral arrangements all the time. There's probably the music of the era.
Yeah, the closest I got to orchestral stuff was very sort of much film scores. And I remember seeing things like E.T. when I was a kid and thinking, oh, that's an interesting sound, you know. Yeah. But a lot of what I was listening to was the records that were at home. So an awful lot of Beatles and Stones and Kinks and all the things that my folks had bought back in the day.
Very good. You do go to study music, don't you, in college? Where did you go?
I was at Cambridge University in England, so I did their music degree, which at the time was a very old-fashioned kind of thing and very intimidating to me, you know, who largely knew about guitars and stuff. It was a bit of a steep learning curve.
It must have been difficult to get in there, I imagine. Fierce competition.
Yeah, I think back in the day it was probably a little different, in that I remember what got me in, I think, was a classical guitar piece that I was playing at the time, and I lucked out by the person who was interviewing me happened to really love early music, and I was playing an early music piece, so she took a bit of a shine to me, I think.
On guitar, it would have been unexpected, really, wouldn't it? You'd expect this very classical music degree that someone arriving with a guitar could struggle to get in.
Well, it was certainly interesting kind of catching up with people, because I knew nothing of playing in orchestras and a lot of things that were second nature to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So I was definitely, it was a bit of a learning curve, but all worth it in the end.
What does one plan to do then when you get this old fashioned music degree in Cambridge University? What's your first job that you have your eyes on?
I always wanted to get into recorded music. So I was very keen on record production and things like that. So I wrote an incredible amount of letters to every recording studio in England and got about two or three responses. But I ended up working in a studio for a chap called Andy Gill, who was a guitar player and founder of the Gang of Four band in the late 70s. And he gave me my first job and taught me loads about how to record music and how to make records, really.
What a great guy to learn from.
Oh, incredible. And such a sort of natural sort of musician who looked at things in such a weird way. So, you know, you'd think a solo would go a certain way and he would always come at it from a different angle. So a really, really useful thing to see in action.
So two original thinkers coming together. You're the young fella, as it were. How do you segue from there, from recording studios into film?
Through a lot of good luck, really. I remember going into a Virgin Megastore, I think it was, on Oxford Street, and picking up a copy of Music Week, seeing on the back of it an advert for a film composer who needed an assistant. Yeah. And all the things he was looking for were things that I'd kind of done either at college or in my job so far, and applied for that. And that was a chap called Trevor Jones, who is known for films like Notting Hill and Last of the Mohicans. And he gave me an opportunity, and I ended up sitting in a room at his house trying to work out how music to picture might work.
I mean, Last of the Mohicans, what an incredible soundtrack. and original score.
Oh, absolutely.
There.
Massive tune as well. And yeah, incredible sort of, he was great melody writer, Trevor. So it was wonderful to be around him.
When it comes to composing then for film, is it the film's director? I presume they have the final say on who does the music.
Yeah, see, it tends to be the directors who give you the opportunity. So they may have heard something you've done or maybe sort of spoken to a colleague who's worked with you. And it tends to be the director who makes those decisions because they're the ones you're really working with very closely during the process of it.
And so Alfonso Cuarón comes calling, I presume, and that's where Gravity occurs.
Yeah, and it was amazing. I'd never met Alfonso, but he was looking for someone to do music for a film that he didn't really want music on. Mm-hmm. And so I got this call from someone who basically said, I don't like film music, what are you going to do? And we spoke a long, long time on that film about how we could do a score for space, really, and where there are no beginnings and ends, and everything was very long cuts and very long unbroken moments, and how music could play a bit of a different role to really accompany the emotions in it.
It seems unusual now when we hear that maybe he didn't want music in the film. It almost feels like it's half the film is the music to ramp up that tension that never really relents.
It's funny how these things go off and the ideas that start at the beginning of a process evolve so much during it. And that one, yeah, I think it was going to play very differently. But I think they realised during the making of it that it was such an emotional sort of piece that music could really help it along the way.
This is relatively early in your film scoring career. Did you know you had something pretty monumental on your hands when you wrote that?
Only towards the very, very end, just seeing people's response to it. Throughout, I was so worried about being fired that I didn't dare think that it might actually be quite good.
Yeah.
I just remember towards the end, we started putting the thing together and the music was getting finished, but also all the visual effects, because when I was writing some of this stuff, you know, it was very basic sort of graphics in places as they developed it. And so it was only at the end you realised it had become kind of more than the sum of its parts, really. Yeah. And I could watch it and go, oh, I think we've made something here, you know?
The Academy Awards, I mean, it's such a political and it's like an election, really. I mean, the campaign is already underway right now for awards not being handed out till March. Were you part of that? Did you have to get involved in this sort of campaigning to help the whole film?
I mean, I was brilliantly naive, really. So I had no idea that this stuff was going on. I was just having a lovely time going to screening and being asked questions about it and thought it was just so exciting. So I waltzed through the whole thing without really knowing what was going on. But it was an incredible sort of experience. And the great thing about Gravity was so many of your friends were in different departments on that film who were also being nominated for things. So we got to spend a lot of time kind of enjoying the experience together.
Very good. I mean, here you are, you're a guy who kind of planned to be in a recording studio, so very much behind the scenes, and yet 2013, you're walking down a red carpet in LA to the Oscar ceremony, surrounded by A-listers, sitting in the same rows as them. What an experience.
Oh, it was amazing. It was amazing. And again, you sort of, I remember at the time of the build-up to it, thinking if you do get to go on stage, definitely don't look down, because that's where all the very famous people will be, because you knew just have a strange out-of-body experience and probably get all your words wrong.
George Clooney is there.
Instead, I looked up and I saw the countdown clock and had an out-of-body experience looking at that as well. So it's very strange but wonderful.
I suppose we never think of the Oscars looking from your vantage point, which is a countdown clock.
Absolutely, the strangest thing.
Quite like the film, in fact, isn't it?
The pressure, exactly, exactly. Everything in the wrong order.
Have you watched back your speech or listened to it?
Only by accident when one of my kids found it on YouTube once. And I can just hear sort of this terrified wobble in my voice at one point, which I think was enough to make me run away. So that's probably for the best.
I hope you don't mind, because I want to play it for the listeners here. And it's well worth listening. And there's no sign of a wobble here at all. This is the moment that Jamie Foxx and Jessica Biel, who are presenting the Academy Award, call out your name and your speech.
And the Oscar goes to... Stephen Price, Gravity.
Thank you, Academy. Thank you so very much. Alfonso, I share this with you. You inspired every frame of this film and certainly every note that I ever wrote. Thank you for this remarkable opportunity. To all the musicians and friends who lent their talents to this score, thank you. I get to stand here, but this belongs to all of us. In telling the story of Ryan Stone, we got to ultimately bring her home and celebrate life, and this is dedicated to the people with whom I share my life, my family. Thank you, Mum, Dad, Jenny. Sorry I made so much noise when I was growing up. My wife, Gemma, our lovely children, Amy and Eva. Thank you so much, everyone.
That is, it's remarkably steady.
It's like Swan Thing, right? When everything's sort of very stressed underneath the surface.
Yes, yes, exactly.
There was a moment when I kind of run out of things to say, and I remember looking at the clock, and it said something like 18 seconds to go, and a little bit of my subconscious said, oh, you could tell a joke or something. Luckily, at that point, my voice did sort of wobble, and it was enough to make me run.
Leave them wanting more. Isn't that the secret show? Where do you keep your Oscar statuette?
It's in my studio nowadays. Ah. It's been various places. It was on my parents' mantelpiece for a fair few years. Mm-hmm. It's back with me now.
You must have been part of the awards kind of bandwagon in other places around the same time for Gravity.
I mean, there's an awful lot of events that run alongside it. And, yeah. You know, there's obviously BAFTA as well that happens. And there's an awful lot of screenings and events that go on at that sort of time. When I think we were quite sort of fortunate. It's not wasn't quite the machine that it seems to be now, where, right. You know, there's a huge amount of press associated with it. We kind of only did a few things and they all seem to be quite good fun.
2013, it was just before, yes, all the online campaigning was needed. So tell us about the David Attenborough film and the show that people are going to see in the Three Arena next March here in Dublin and what you'll have to do with it.
Well, the film is Ocean with David Attenborough was mm-hmm. came out in May of this year, as you said, for his 99th birthday, and it's really an incredible story of you know, the wonder of the ocean and how incredibly important it is to life everywhere on Earth, but also the massive amount of damage that we've done to the ocean through yes. practices such as trawling and the like. And it was a beautiful film put together over here by a company called Open Planet Productions, who I'd worked with previously on David Attenborough productions. But this one was really hard-hitting. It was certainly a lot of things that I didn't know about the ocean and the horrible state that we're leaving it in. But also has a lot of hope in it, because yes. Sir David's, you know, shows the path forward and how the ocean can recover really quickly. So we made this film, and I was lucky enough to do the score for it. And basically, we've all just really kept supporting the thing, because it's important as many people see it as possible, and bringing it to the concert hall and playing it with a live orchestra and choir hopefully means that more people can get to see the amazing images and hear what Sir David's got to say.
It's a really stunning piece of work, and I want to give people a sense of the music from the film. This was called Beneath the Waves, and it's still in the kind of the sunlit part of the ocean. Kind of got that flourish, the triumph of nature.
Yeah, that's very much early in the film when we're showing how incredible it is down there, and you know the amount of different types of life that coexist and all sort of need each other to survive, you know. And before we get to the point where we say sort of what we're doing to break all that.
Yeah, what I love about that is that that's a nice sunny, hopeful bit, and the scary thing about the ocean, the things we can't see, this is hidden beneath the waves, which gives us a completely different vibe. Scary things underneath. Where have we gone there, Stephen?
So that's some incredible footage that was very, very difficult to get, but it shows the reality of deep sea trawling, basically these huge long bars that sweep entire football pitches worth of area sort of in seconds under the ocean. And, you know, ostensibly to catch certain sorts of fish, but the wastage is quite incredible. So it damages this whole infrastructure down there and creates huge knock-on problems.
Would you say that kind of sense of worry and concern in your music is kind of a trademark of yours?
It's certainly, I think of myself as quite an emotional sort of composer. Yeah. So I tend to, with something like that, you know, we wanted people to feel anger and we wanted people to feel fear and the tension of it all. So we definitely, with the whole film, I think really felt that we should be emotionally honest with it all. And that applies to moments like that with the fear and the terror, but also some of the more beautiful aspects that happen later on.
So going to the show in the Three Arena, you're going to have the lovely imagery on a big screen, I presume. And then music-wise, you can go and enjoy it separately as a music occasion because there's going to be an orchestra there.
Absolutely. And it's one of these great developments of these sort of concerts where, you know, often this music is made behind closed doors. It's made in studio. It's quite a technical process putting it together, and it may only happen once. You know, you never get to hear the music being performed live again, which is an incredibly special thing, hearing all those people playing together to create this sound. And you'll get to see that basically in front of your eyes. And it's an orchestra, but there's also a lot of voices in the score. Originally, it was a lot of Lisa Hannigan, your own Lisa Hannigan, who's one of my most wonderful collaborators. And there'll be I think 5 or 6 singers there on the night, recreating some of those parts and taking you down to the ocean.
That sounds like a great occasion. That's on Saturday, the 7th of March. And you've been very busy since you've been on The Running Man, haven't you? You've done the score for that. That's a Glenn Powell remake.
Yes, that took up a lot of this last year, which was an incredible sort of journey of that one. And yeah, it's a total opposite to Ocean, really. A huge amount of action music and again, sort of, a real roller coaster ride of a film.
Eat, Pray, Love is another one you've done along the way with Julia Roberts. So I presume lots of kind of sunny uplands going on in the music there.
Yeah, I mean, I just love the variety of the job, really. I love sort of reaching the end of a project and then trying to find the most extreme opposite you can possibly find.
You worked with Hans Zimmer because your name appears in the credits for Batman Begins. What would your role have been there?
I was what they call a music editor on that film, which is a sort of job where you sort of sit between directors and composers, making sure that both of them kind of get what they need. And so that was an amazing experience. I only did the one film with Hans, but you're very aware you were working with a real genius. I'd never seen anyone read a film and know how to musically express it like him. It was incredible.
Christopher Nolan and Hans Zimmer, they produced great soundtracks together as director and composer. And you've done quite a few animated films too.
Yeah, I love working in animation. It's sort of, obviously I've had a young family, so it's a delight to work on things that they can watch. But just the idea of working in a field like animation, where every single thing on screen is intended and you really are sort of encouraged to support every moment. I love doing all that.
Because sound is obviously pretty vital in an animation because it's all created. So the music is vital. A lot of parents would have seen Over the Moon, a very popular children's animated film that's on Netflix. And you're doing something different at the moment?
Yeah, at the moment, I'm actually working on a project at the moment called Arctic, which is another sort of natural history show, but really showing how the lives of the Inuit people corresponds with the nature over there. So just finishing that up before Christmas, and then we have a little bit of a break.
Are you exclusively in film, or do you do TV series as well, drama and so on?
A majority of it's in film, but increasingly, you know, the lines are getting blurred a little bit, and so much of amazing stuff is being made for TV. So yeah, a bit of both is what I look to do.
And when you come into studio, is the film almost complete? Are they kind of looking for the music to do a lot of work for them as well in the story?
It kind of depends on the project. Sometimes you'll come in quite late and everything's pretty much locked down and you can work out where to support things. But there's other projects where the edit is really continuous and you'll be evolving the two things as they go. So they each work in completely different ways, but somehow you reach the finish line, you know.
What a fascinating job you have. Ocean in concert, narrated on film by David Attenborough, with music by composer Stephen Price, live at the Three Arena with an orchestra and some voices as well. Saturday the 7th of March with the Ulster Orchestra. Ticketmaster.ie has all the details. Stephen Price, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.